I'll mention it some in the message, but you know, Bible-believing churches, there used to be some argument about churches that were come as you are and others that you had to get dressed up. But truly, Bible-believing churches have always been churches that you came just however you just get there. That's all that's ever been. And I don't think there needs to be an argument in that. We're open to all, and I trust the Lord would bless that thoughts to our heart. We're praying for Brother Jordan, Miss Katie Wheelock up there, and the little one on the way, and so I want you to keep them in your prayers, please. We're excited about what God's doing in their family. And I want to preach to you, though, for a little while this morning from Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8, verse number 41. We'll begin there, and this is the lady that comes and gets healed from the Lord Jesus Christ. As you're finding your place in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 41, I did hear this story about these two men that were shipwrecked on this island, and one of them just immediately began screaming and complaining and yelling and saying that we're going to die. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die. And the other guy was just calm. It was actually annoying. The first guy, he was making him more upset. And he says, "We're going to die. What's wrong with you? Why don't you get upset?" And he said, "Well, it's going to be fine. We're not going to die." He said, "We are going to die. There's nothing here." He said, "I know there's nobody here. There's nothing here." He said, "We're going to die." And they just went into a tirade again about how upset he was. And he says, "No, we're not going to die." He says, "I'm very successful at home." And he said, "Actually, our business is just doing wonderfully." He said, "I make $100,000 a week." And that guy said, "I don't care how much money you make. We're out here with no food, no water. We're going to be stranded. We're just going to die here." And he said, "No, we're not going to." And he was just making him more and more upset the more he said everything was going to be fine. He said, "What makes you think things are going to be fine?" And he says, "Well, I told you I make $100,000 a week in my business." He says, "I'm a member of the church. I tithe. That means I give 10% of that." He said, "My pastor will find me. And when he finds me, I'm going to take you with me. And so I attest to that. If you're doing that, I'll find you too. Yeah, you better believe I will. We look at this beautiful story about the woman that's healed. Verse 41, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." They just pushed around him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, just the little touch of his robe that was flowing there. And immediately her issue of blood stanched, or it dried up. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith have made thee whole." So this beautiful story of compassion and healing is here. And I love this story because we've got a prestigious ruler that's coming to Jesus, and Jesus receives him. And then we have an outcast, and Jesus takes time for both of them. I think that for far too long, we've worried about someone's life and how they live and how they're dressed and what they drive. And today, we as a church and me as a pastor proclaim all over again that we're just glad that everybody comes and all are welcome. I think about this, you know, the library that's over here across the way, they've tore that down and they're in transition. They're moving to a different location. But I think the wonderful thing about a library is this. You could have ridden over there on a rented bike because you couldn't afford your own. Or you could have driven in a $250,000 car. If you got a library card, anybody can get one, you can get a book. I think about that when I think my wife loves a lot more me. She's a great, better reader, and so she's reading on either physical book or an e-book. And so I think about that, though, a great picture of how it ought to be with church. Doesn't matter whether you came in with the most amount in your account than anybody in this room, or if you don't have enough to pay for lunch, if we went to McDonald's together afterwards, I want you to know that you're welcome. All are. That's the way Christ was. He took this ruler and he heard him and he went toward his house and eventually goes there. But I want to preach this passage and remind us again of how receptive the Lord Jesus Christ is. If you look in verse number 41, I want you to see the prestigious people can reach him. The Bible says there was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a ruler there, and that meant that he took some authority. He had a position of authority in that day. A ruler of the synagogue would have not only been over the synagogue, they would have orchestrated worship, that they would have come and they would have taken care of the religious services, but they would have done more than that. They also would have done the community affairs that would have been around, the programs of the day, whatever they would have had. So he affected the religious life and the civic life of different people here, and he was somebody. This is much like the one over in Luke, that ruler that was challenging Jesus Christ when he was upset because he healed on the Sabbath. Those rulers had a lot of power, a lot of prestige. But this man doesn't know what to do. He's a man that even though he has a lot of things in his grasp and he has a lot of authority over the people who are there with him, he doesn't know what to do with his 12-year-old daughter because she's sick. And the Bible says she lay a dying, meaning that she's not far long, rather, for this world. And so this man, in all of his prestige and all the position he holds, he doesn't do anything except what he only knows to do, and that's just to go to Jesus and ask him if he would come to his house. He doesn't even have enough faith to say, "Jesus, just say the word like somebody else did. Just say the word and heal her." He says, "Would you come to my house?" He's desperate. The Bible says in verse 41 that he falls down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And in that day, if you'd have fallen at the feet of somebody, it was very much a symbol of submission, because your feet in the dirty and days in which they live without the shoes of today, the type we'd have, and that when you got down to his feet, that was just showing that you're subservient to him. This is a person who folks look up to. And so I see that prestigious can reach him. And the Bible says that Jesus now, after he hears his request, he's going to go to his house and he's going to check on his daughter and heal her. But we see in verse number 43 that the woman, having the issue of blood 12 years, she just tries to get up through the crowd. Neither could be healed of any of the physicians that she paid for, came behind in verse 44 and touched the border of his garment. Not only do you see that the prestigious, they reach out and they have an audience with Jesus Christ, but then I love the part of that we look at here, and that is that the outcasts, the ones that nobody likes, the ones that nobody will or could be around, they also have an audience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because then back in Leviticus in the law, it says if a woman have an issue of blood, she should be unclean. She was shut out from fellowship because of this unclean issue that had been going on for 12 years now. She was shut out from her religious life. She was shut out from her fellowship. And she was also shut out from her social life that she would have, because people weren't allowed to be around her. But her condition is a lot worse than we even give it credit for, because today we don't understand in the culture in which we live what it would be like to be an outcast. If you read other parts of the scripture, whenever folks would have the disease of leprosy, that person, if they ever did get around somebody, if they were walking, had to walk alone, but if they walked and there were people they were going to get remotely close to, they would have to hold their hand up and keep themselves covered and say, "Unclean, unclean." Now, we don't understand anything about that, because even HIPAA laws doesn't even allow you to talk about somebody's health conditions, and they're not allowed to share with you if you're in a doctor's office or something of that nature. But there in that day, it would have been plain for everybody to see. But her condition was very, very bad. Number one, she was broke. The Bible says she spent all of her living. She spent everything that she had, and you would too if there was a problem that you just couldn't get rid of, and she spent all that she had. But not only was she broke, but she was also disappointed, because the Bible says she spent all that she had, but she was none the better. She was broke and she was disappointed. But then not only that, as I mentioned already, she was an outcast. People would not have been allowed to be around her, and she wouldn't have been allowed to be around anybody. She was this outcast. But then we find in this story, in desperation, that she most likely would have covered up so that nobody would have recognized her to be the person that couldn't be around folks. Probably covered up so that she could go in with some anonymity and get up there through the crowd, because you understand she couldn't have been close to that crowd because they wouldn't have liked her, and she couldn't have been around them because of the rule of the law. And so not only do we see that she would have been broke and she would have been disappointed, but she was an outcast. But here's one other thing that I'd like to submit, because I'm sure it would have had to have been true. If she knew that she wasn't supposed to be around that crowd, she would have also been very, very fearful. I assume that she covered up to keep herself disguised from the other folks that were there. And so because of that, that would have certainly put a lot of fear in her mind. What if I do get found out? What if somebody recognizes? What if somebody sees me? What if they do call me out to say, you're not even supposed to be in this crowd? And so I'm sure that she was in that way because of the condition that she lived in. And I realize all of these different aspects of how she must have felt, but she was so desperate that she covered up and went through the crowd and thought, if I don't need to touch him, I don't need to be introduced to him, I don't need to shake hands, I don't need to do any of those things, I just touch the border of the robe that he's wearing. And I love the aspect of not only that person that's the prestigious person, they can come to Christ, but then the one that nobody wants to be around, Jesus also receives them. We assume that she believes on him also, not just to get healed, but to get believe in him as Messiah, because in verse number 48, he calls her daughter. Be of good comfort. Why would he say be of good comfort? Because she wasn't of any comfort before. The Bible says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Why would he say go in peace? Because she hadn't had any peace. Not only would it because of the condition of her body, but also the condition of her mind, because she would have been worried that somebody found her out. And he said to her, go in peace. And you can see that this lady is not only physically troubled, but obviously is mentally tormented as well because of the condition that she's in. And I say to you this morning, if we're talking about a doctor that's very accomplished in his life, or maybe somebody in the medical field that has life and death in their hands as far as the physical aspect of it, if that person comes to Jesus because they realize that as much as I've trained for, I don't have life and death in my hands like I thought, then Jesus would hear and receive them. But also, if it's the poor man that's looked down upon with disdain because people don't like him or like where he comes from or like what he does, that person can also come to Christ. You don't have to answer this, but it's obvious. Do we as a church and do you as an individual believe that anybody can come to Christ? Of course we do. And we believe that Jesus would accept any. You say, why do you believe that, Pastor? Because that's what the Bible says. Whosoever may come. That would mean that that person that you have a little trouble looking at, maybe the odor is something you don't enjoy. Maybe the lifestyle they live is something you don't agree with. That person can come to Jesus Christ, and we've spent too much of our lives looking down on people. I'm afraid that the best of the person in this room, whoever that is, I'm afraid that we've been conditioned in the culture in which we live that we still put people in classifications. And can I tell you that biblically, you and I are supposed to have none of that? Let God take care of the things in their life. You say, yes, but they're doing things that are unbiblical. I understand. And when we preach through the scriptures, we'll let the Bible take care of what they're doing. They don't need your help or my help to say, you need to be like me, because you being like me is not a good enough goal or motive. You and I need to be like Jesus. And so I'm saying this morning that we understand that the down and out, those that don't have anything, can come to Christ, and those that are the up and outs can come to Jesus Christ as well. But I want to bring this last point to you. In verse number 47, we see that the woman, she saw that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before him. We also see down, if you look in verse number 56, we'll probably get to this next week or next time, we see not only this lady bows before him, but Jairus already bowed before him. But in verse 56, her parents were astonished, Jairus and his wife. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. They were astonished. They were so appreciative of what he had done. They were amazed. And so I see not only that the prestigious can come, and the outcast that nobody likes to have anything to do with can come, but also I see the response from either one of them. The response is worship. She came trembling and falling down before him. Jairus and his wife were astonished at what he had done, and both of them worshiped the Lord for the acts that he had done in their life. The word worship comes from the words worth, ship, Put ship on the end of it just means it's bringing out and categorizing or displaying that worth. There's sometimes, and I was one of them when I was a young person, that when somebody talks about having sweet hour of prayer, praying for an hour, I say, well, how would I do that? Well, I think I'd get bored with it because I would say, okay, Lord, forgive me if I've done something I'm not supposed to, any sin in my life. But then I'd say praying for this and Lord help this and help that person. And before you knew it, I thought prayer was just here asking all the things that you want from God. And it took me a while to figure out that, well, you'd never be able to pray for that long until I realized, and I bring all of us to that point today as well, that a lot of the prayer time that you can have with the Lord is not saying, Lord, please give this or please work in that, please heal so-and-so and please strengthen so-and-so. A lot of the time that we have in prayer is just you spending time giving worth-ship to the Lord. Lord, you are the God that created this world. Lord, you are the God that sustains this world that we live in. God, you are the one that has done these great things in my life. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Lord, you are worthy, as we sang about this morning. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and power. The response is that worship that these people, these two different individuals that come from completely different backgrounds, that they come to Jesus Christ and they can't do anything but bow at his feet because we realize that they realize who he was. And I'm saying this morning that I'm challenging everybody that this week that you spend time every morning, maybe it's on your drive, maybe it's in your recliner, maybe it's beside your bed, wherever it is that you spend time this week and every day just reminding yourself how great God is. That's worship. Lord, you're the reason that this breath is coming out of my body. And you, my friend, you may say, I exercise and I eat right and I do what I'm supposed to. Yes, you may do all of those things, as one old preacher told me. He says it's a proven fact that those people that eat right and exercise die healthier. But you understand that even you should try to do things. But as much as you try to do, the breath in your body is not there by your own volition. God gives it. And you've got something this week to praise and worship the Lord for. God, you're the reason I've got what I've got. The reason I can lift my breath is because of you. Lord, you are worthy. Some say that you shouldn't get too emotional. Some say that in a service you shouldn't raise your hand to honor God and worship him. Well, it's scriptural. You can do it, but you don't have to. But to those who like to lift their hands in praise, I challenge you not to criticize those that don't. Because that person, they may be worshiping the Lord more than you are without hands raised, than you are with hands raised. And they're worshiping the Lord in their heart and in their mind. They're praising God and worshiping him. But on the other side, to those that don't lift your hands, then don't criticize those that do, because that's quite all right as well. The Bible says the important thing is that we worship him truly in John chapter 4. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I saw a quiet, subdued person in a church we used to go to. One of our quiet, subdued members at the church, he really never, rarely, never, ever said anything. He said, well, that's just not who I am. Until I saw him at a basketball game. All of a sudden, he got very animated. And he was giving it to the ref. He was giving it to the players. He's giving it to the people next to him. He's giving it to everybody. And he was very outspoken. But to us that worship, the definition of it is this, to prostrate oneself in homage to the Lord, literally or figuratively, meaning that you're laid out flat on the ground or you're in your spirit, you're laid out flat on your ground and you are worshiping, you're honoring God, you are giving reverence to him, you are adoring him, whether you're the louder one or the quiet one, makes no difference to me. But I believe we get taught from this passage that whether you're the elite or the tolerated, you can come to Christ. And again, this is not new for our church, but again, we establish that All are welcome. Now, some will say, yeah, but pastor, what about all of the commands in Scripture? I didn't say all could come and be on the pastoral staff or all could teach a Bible class somewhere. There are biblical commands and principles that people follow as they come up through. But again, like the lady sang, God will love you too much, does love you too much to leave you that way. He'll change things in your life. In 1850, there was Sonnets from the Portuguese, a famous group of poems, and the first phrase will be familiar to most of you. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I don't know much about that, but as I was thinking about and preparing for this sermon, it reminded me of how we ought to worship the Lord. You could very well do an experiment. Lord, how do I love you? Well, I love you for my precious wife who has stood beside me and has been my partner in ministry and co-laborer and the mother of my children. And Lord, I'm thankful for my children. And Lord, I'm thankful, me personally, I'm worshiping you for the wonderful church that I get to pastor. And I'm grateful for the co-laborers together with me that we get to see what you're doing. And I've got lots of things to worship the Lord for. You could drive from here to Knoxville and pick up whatever you had to pick up and come back, and you would have more things to praise and worship the Lord for than you had time to in that drive over and the drive back. I'm saying that the response that we give, or they give, is that they worship Him. There's a song, this old Southern Gospel song, they've got so much to thank Him for. And my friend, you do as well. So I'm so impressed with the acceptance of Jesus Christ in this passage. And because of that, to the ruler, who some would like to honor, and to the outcast that nobody wanted to bother with, Jesus accepted him. And so I challenge you, my friend, to be that same one that takes the position of Christ and says, I won't discriminate either. I do believe, or I'm afraid rather, that in our culture, we still have a little bit of that divisions, that somebody thinks higher of someone than they do of another person. And in the Scriptures, I could say it like it does, these things ought not to be. To that person that is your colleague, your contemporary, or your equal, to that person who's above you in your corporation, or to that person that's asking for change at the intersection that you're a little afraid to make eye contact with sometimes. All are welcomed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but pastor, didn't the decisions of one make them, put them in the position? I understand. There are still scriptural principles that people will do better if they do certain things. Yes. But we're speaking of the aspect of being accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ if they come to Him in faith. And I want us to remember that this church always needs to be the place that's open to all, for whosoever will may come. Everybody's a candidate for the working of God in their life. I don't think that's anything new to anyone in this room, but I do think that we need to be reminded from time to time. And so this morning, I wanted to come to you with that message about the approachable Savior. I'm going to ask Ms. Davina to come and play, and organist as well, Ms. Mariana. And as they come and play, I want us as a church, but I want us as individuals as well, to do two things. One, remember that there's nobody that's outrun the grace of God. I don't care how far gone they've gone, or you feel they are, they can come to Christ. But then secondly, as a people and as an individual, we need to spend more time worshiping the Lord than we do. I'm not talking about a worship service here at the church. That's great as well. But if that's all we're doing, then we're doing it wrong. I'm talking about in the morning when you get up. You ought to be worshiping the Lord. What is that? Worth-ship? You're telling the Lord why He's worthy. Lord, you've let me get up another day. Lord, you've given me these blessings. Lord, I've got my health or the measure of it. Lord, I've got this. And Lord, I've got my mind and I'm able to realize who you are. Lord, I was born in the family I was in. I've got all of these things that I'm praising and worshiping you for. So one, let's remember that anybody can come to Christ. And two, let's start worshiping Him more than we ever have before. I think there's a lot of battles to be won in that avenue of worship. One thing I find in worship, if I'm worshiping the Lord for all the good He's put in my life, I find it hard to complain, because I start looking at all the blessings He's put out to me. As they play, and don't we have a lot to worship Him for this morning? If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand and just make it easier for people to get out. Maybe you feel led to come down to the altar and just thank God for some things. I got to talk to Brother Ben Tackett yesterday for a long time on the phone, and he's praising the Lord, worshiping Him for the successful surgery. He's got a long way to recover, but he's praising the Lord. Maybe you're here and you just need to praise God about some things. You want to come to the altar and pray? You want to make an altar out of your seat? Right there is where you're standing. That's fine as well. Let's get a little practice. Lord, You're worthy. Lord, You're worthy for this. You're worthy for my family. You're worthy all the things You give me. And maybe you're here this morning, not sure that you're saved. If that's you, my friend, would you just step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in front. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. If you're a lady, his wife or one of the ladies will take time with you as well. Don't leave this place without being saved, knowing you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you're saved, but you need to be baptized. You want to follow Christ in that. We're going to baptize one of the wonderful ladies of our church here in just a minute. Maybe you need to surrender to just follow Christ in baptism. Maybe you need to present yourself for membership to Buffalo Ridge. Talked to a wonderful couple that's going to join here in the recent services, I believe. Just talked to them before the early service. They feel like maybe this is where God wants them to be. And maybe you'd like to join that crowd and say, I'd like to present myself for membership.
If you have a moment, we've just got a few more minutes left of the service. You can be seated. And I know maybe some have to slip out. You got to get somewhere on to work or something. We're going to baptize here in just a moment. And so we are going to sing a song. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that is a command that is connected to our love for the Lord, our relationship with Him. As we've just heard all of these things about how the Lord responded to us, we should respond to Him in this way. So I want to sing 391 together, just a couple verses while they get ready. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Let's sing it together.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what glory
Thankful that the Lord has brought the Watkins family our way, Brother Mark and Miss Jackie, and Brother Mark served our nation. We're thankful for that, but also a good brother and sister in Christ, and we're grateful for them. And Jackie has been saved for a long time, but wants to follow Christ in baptism, and so we're very thankful for that. Miss Jackie, come on down. Just look this way up, Mark. And because of her profession of faith, she wants to follow Christ in baptism, and it's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. We're thankful for her, so if you want to hold your nose. In obedience to the command of Jesus our Lord, and because of your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. And I got a little ahead of myself the other night. We voted to join them as members, but I need to vote Miss Jackie in as a member, and so we would need a motion for that. Brother Marty Scroggs and Brother Richard Ball seconds that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful day, and I challenge you to get to know the Watkins. They're a wonderful blessing, and I'm grateful that God has brought them our way. If you're a guest today, don't forget to please take that Connect card back to the guest services, and I see the folks going back that way. They'll be there to meet you and just give you a gift. And Brother Bobby Brown has got an announcement to make. He's our chairman of the deacons, and but more importantly than that, at least this week, he's also heading up the harvest party. So he's got an important candy announcement he'd like to make.
This Saturday from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock is our annual harvest party here at the church. And so I need two things. Number one, I do need a few more volunteers. And so if you say to yourself, man, is that me? Yeah, that's you. I need a few more volunteers. And it is light work. It's games. It's for 3 hours. And then you get to go home. You spend about 15 minutes at the end of that just piling your stuff up in one spot. And the cleanup's pretty simple. But we would love to have you. And then if you know children in the area, this is a community event. We would love to have as many children on this property as possible next week. So the harvest party, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock next week, next Saturday. For that, we still need a lot of candy. So as you go to Walmart this week, if you can, even this afternoon, pile it up. We're ready for some candy. No nuts. That does not exclude volunteers. So if you think you're a little nuts, you can still sign up as a volunteer. Just no nuts in the candy, please. So if you can bring that tonight or Wednesday night or drop it by the church office, that would be greatly appreciated. October is also Pastor Appreciation Month. So if you have a moment, let the pastoral staff know that you appreciate what they do. You see a lot of what they do right here, but a lot of what they do is behind the scenes, caring for people, praying for people, and supporting our church. And so take a moment, tell them you appreciate them, and I know that would be greatly appreciated by them. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Oh, one important thing. There is a volunteer meeting tonight after the service for the Harvest Party volunteers. It'll take 15 minutes max because it's really easy work, but there is a Harvest Party volunteer meeting after the service. If you miss it, an email will be going out to all of the volunteers as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the blessings that you have given each and every one of us. I thank you for the love that Pastor preached about this morning, that you have given us that unconditional love, and I pray that we will share that with our brethren. I pray we thank you, we love you, and I pray everyone will have safe travels home. In your name I ask it, amen.